You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier this week, a story came to light about a group of Chinese construction workers who came to New Zealand through an overseas employment agency. After spending upwards of $40,000 on agency fees, they're being refused a visa extension after they were lied to about how much they would earn and how long they could stay. I spoke with Unite Union's Mike Treen, who's trying to help the workers.
So could you tell me a bit about what has happened to these Chinese workers?
Close to 60 workers were brought over to New Zealand by a recruitment agent and an agent New Zealand labour hire company. And they ran into trouble as soon as they arrived. Unclear who's ultimately responsible, but there wasn't the work, and there wasn't the accommodation, there wasn't the situation they were expecting to find, and they were in deep trouble. So they'd pay $40,000-$50,000 each to agents in China to get the jobs and the visas, and they weren't getting the work or the support that they needed to be able to in any way pay that back. They obviously overpromised in terms of what they do in New Zealand and whether, and even that they possibly could transition to permanent residence, which is simply a lie. So we got involved to try and represent these workers, give them some support, and at the beginning of last year, the government minister, Ian Lees-Galloway, said he would do everything he can to help them change visas and do what was necessary to get them out of the plight that they were in. But at least four of the group, which I'm still part of my group, have been refused an extension of the visa. Immigration New Zealand never says why this is. Includes one of the leaders of the group, one of the surreal Komata, who is an absolute gentleman, who has been helping the group organise itself and relate to the dire situation they've been in and put an enormous amount of work into it. But these four workers who were originally on one-year visas, which expired in the middle of last year, and got a bit of a temporary extension for a possible court case, but the court case never went ahead because we settled out of court. So these ones who are on one-year visas, these four haven't been allowed to continue. A bunch of them have been allowed to continue who have been selected, about 20 or so who were selected because Immigration New Zealand started an investigation on four. All of our workers participated in helping that investigation, gave evidence to it about what they were doing, including the four. But 20, around 20, I think, have been selected for giving evidence if a trial happens. They have got extensions to their visas, but despite cooperating, despite helping the four that I'm currently representing today, seem to have been just being told they have to go home. It's a heartbreak. It's just a heartbreaking story. These people, some of them, one of these four has worked in a number of overseas countries, and he says this is the worst he's ever experienced in terms of the lack of support, lack of respect, lack of proper work. Yeah.
So they got their visas through an agency in China, right?
Yeah. Well actually, the visas have to be issued by the company. The company was National Personnel Limited, but National Personnel said that their agent Wen Chan Lee, who did the recruitment in China, acted outside of his sort of jurisdiction. Now I never got to the bottom of all of that. So who's innocent, who's guilty, and how guilty everyone is was sort of a little bit unresolved. We did out of court essentially settlements with both the agent and the company, so we didn't get to explore it all. Everyone protested their innocence, so you just got to move on.
Right. So, and these agencies, they cost a lot of money. I mean, you said that these guys spent upwards of $40,000.
Yeah, 200,000 yuan. So to agent to recruitment agencies inside China. So it's not accessible. So the agent here, the one who sort of did the recruiting in China. He says he never received that money. Don't know. You know, who knows? You know, but the agencies, there are lots of recruitment agencies inside China that operate these sorts of business for recruiting for overseas. So hundreds of thousands of workers are recruited for overseas from China each year. And so that money's locked up in China. So we couldn't sue for compensation for that. All we could do was sue for compensation for any disadvantage they suffered in New Zealand.
Right. So these agencies in China, I mean, is it common for them to be this dishonest, I guess, or for them to charge this much money?
Well, I guess they go on what they're told. Right? Yes, it is common to charge this much money, yeah. It's in excess of what the government guidelines are. It's sort of double what the government guidelines are in terms of this stuff, but people are pretty pretty desperate to get overseas and get a chance to have that experience and earn that money. Now, and so a lot of people they borrowed money in China in order to do that from their family. So it's a huge to go home empty-handed and almost bankrupt is a huge personal blow, you know.
In New Zealand and stuff, I mean, what sort of process are they able to go through, I mean, to resolve situations like this, right? Is there anything in place in New Zealand to help?
They joined Unite Union, so that we were able to give them some help. And so we did personal grievances on their behalf against the companies and the agents. So, and both denied responsibility and, you know, wasn't their fault and pointed the fingers at the other and so on. So in the end, it was felt best to do it rather than trying with almost impossible to resolve it all in an Employment Relations Authority hearing. So we did a settlement that didn't require an authority hearing. And so in terms of their, but there's no government agents, because there's quarter, you see, the problem we've got now is that the government, all New Zealand governments at the moment, and a lot of governments around the world, it seems, are in a similar situation in Australia, in the UK, and Canada, in America. There's increasing use of the temporary work visas which inevitably put people in a vulnerable situation. And so they're usually tied to the employer, and as in this case, they were tied to the employer, couldn't change without permission of Immigration New Zealand, and so it's sort of a bonded labour scheme, and it's operated worldwide, and it inevitably results in these horrendous stories of exploitation that we keep hearing about, but we keep system, right? So the system depends on a belief that you can transition. So overseas education industry is connected to it as well. So workers and students are encouraged to come, and they are often given the belief that they will be able to transition eventually to a permanent residence. That's part of the dream. And that's almost impossible. And the government has made that even harder by radically reducing the number of permanent residence numbers, while at the same time significantly increasing the temporary visa numbers. So this combination is just an awful, awful combination. If we need people long term, if we need people very long term, as we do, then we should have a process for people to be able to access permanent residence rather than just bring them in for 1, 2, 3 years, send them home again, bring in another lot for 1, 2, 3 years. The government has reduced the permanent residence number so much that you now need to earn over 100 grand to virtually qualify. So that means that the teachers that our system desperately needs can't qualify for permanent residence. That's just nuts. Right? The government is running a system that is nuts. Doesn't make sense, right? They recruit, they're spending millions of dollars recruiting teachers overseas to bring them to New Zealand and then changing the rules on them and telling them they will never qualify for permanent residence. That does not make sense.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.